Welcome to Fun Town, everybody. We're back.
We are back.
I'm into it.
How about now?
Can you hear me now?
You could even go more, I think.
Yeah? How about now?
Oh, yeah. There's Jeff.
I would hit it a little bit more even.
Well, I don't trust you, so I'm not going to. I talked
you into going this far with it.
Okay. Look at this. Look at this, Austin.
He's trying to drive you over the ledge.
One more. Just for you, buddy.
Oh! I trust it's one. I trust it's one more. You might have done a half guy, and I can't see it.
There's no numbers on it, so it's all of us.
Is it from Europe or something, or is it Japanese where you have to master it in order to use it?
I have no idea. I like your guys' microphones better. I think I'm going to get one of yours.
Oh, yeah. You
What's
should.
That going to run me like $3,000?
You can get them used for like $200. A Guitar Center? Yeah.
Is that what? You can also get them on Reverb?
Oh, really? How much are they there?
I think about maybe 180, 150.
Okay, there you go. Perfect.
Well, there's my problem. I'm a cheap bastard.
Well, you got that thing. What's that thing?
Like one, a bill.
It's just a bill?
Yeah, those aren't cheap.
A billy 10.
Yeah. It might take $60.
It's like we can tell. Your tiny little microphone. It's so cute.
Little R2-D2 guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Look at that.
Your microphone looks like a vibrator. It's just a tiny little...
like a trash can.
It's old-timey, though.
A little bit. You can put it on the arm stand. Yeah. Aren't you glad you started recording earlier?
Yeah, we're good. Right. What have you guys been up to? It's been a hell of a week. I did shrooms for the first time.
I can't stop that.
Let's go.
Exactly.
Let's go, Toddy.
I never done them. You know, I didn't start smoking weed until after I was a cop. So like I'm newer, right? I'm only like 2 years into that, 3 years into that.
How did you feel when you started smoking weed after being probably, I'm guessing, real anti-weed, right? That's the vibe I'm getting from you guys.
It's weird because the second half of my career, we would make fun kind of the marijuana eradication team people because no one gets in trouble. You know what I mean? It's like you see thousands of pounds of weed or chop down a whole field and nobody gets anything out of it. But they have more funding than everybody. They have real nice offices and they drive the best cars and they got overtime out the ass, unlimited budget for everything. But nobody goes to jail. So we're out there just skimping by, like wiring our own transmitters together with duct tape and then going out and making major methamphetamine arrests and heroin arrests. crazy. This week, Sean Latham had some shrooms, and we've been busting our ass every day. We're like almost 2 weeks into this pub shed operation.
this 3 day, which yes. For the record, how'd the reveal come? Did it show up
was
on
it
time?
Was it Friday?
We haven't done it yet. That's why we didn't get done on time. So we're still. I believe
someone owes me $1,000. That's how much I bet that they would not be done.
Well, you won, sir. And so I think maybe it's going to be this weekend. We'll see. But these shrooms, I was kind of scared to do them because here's the thing. I got these demons in me. And sometimes when I have too much whiskey, you know, I get Irish angry or whatever. You know, I got a little bit of PTSD, whatever. Like things want to get out that have been, you know, suppressed for a long time. So I was like, I don't think I want to be imagining shit or hallucinating shit. Like, I'm going to think I'm in some kind of fight with the devil or something. And couldn't have been more opposite.
Yeah.
The world was wonderful. I was like walking on a cloud, I'm pretty sure, at one point. Like I was about 2 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
It was great. And I've never laughed so hard in my life.
Did your arms look short?
I don't remember that. I do remember streamers all the time with the lights. Mm-hmm. Like if I move my head, like a light beam would stream from the light bulb and follow whichever way I was looking. And we had a fire going. That was pretty awesome to watch.
That's a good choice.
Yeah. And it just, dude, I don't even know. I don't even remember what we were saying, but it was the to me at the time was the funniest shit I'd ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
At one point I almost threw up. I was laughing so much. Like my stomach hurt bad. Yeah. Like I remember one line. Rich Reagans was asking Sean Latham and I, he was tripping too, and a June bug had flown by. And he goes, "Man, you guys ever, when you were kids, tie little strings to the June bugs and fly them like kites?" And I just go, "No, we're too busy fingering people." And, and we laughed for like an hour. We could not stop.
For those two things to line up, either Rich had to be tying strings onto bugs at a depressingly old age, or Todd was finger blasting people in like kindergarten.
I was trying, and the whole time he was talking and he said that, I had this line ready, because usually I would say, you know, if somebody says something nerdy, I'll be like, "Nah, I was too busy having sex, you know?" And so I was like, I got to make this age appropriate. At what age is Richie going for right now? I'm going to put him in seventh or eighth grade, tying strings on June bugs. So let's go with fingering. And boom, hit it. I put a lot of thought into it, Austin.
That's a lot. You got a CPU up there, buddy. I hope Apple never cracks your brain open and gets that CPU.
This joke machine running there.
I know.
There was so much inner monologue going during the shrooms. Oh, my God.
Dude, in seventh grade, if I saw a girl's bra strap, I would get a boner. I didn't even know that vaginas were made for fingering in the seventh and eighth grade. I thought they were still only for making babies and showing off in Playboy magazines. I thought those were the only two things.
You sound like a church pastor.
I remember the girl that got fingered in junior high. It was a big deal. We're like, "Oh, did you hear? Fingered. Three fingers, too." And I'm like, "What does that mean? Like, why?"
That
makes a big deal about how many fingers. It's disgusting. Anyway,
I feel like that was a very, very first stages of fingering is the finger count.
Oh, yeah.
That's hot intel.
Yeah. Sure. Our first guy, Eric Carmack, was the first guy in our school that I heard of fingering somebody.
You remember the dude?
Yeah. He was the coolest guy in school for at least a month after telling that story. We're like, what?
Does the school still have his trophy up, Todd?
Like, oh, yeah. There's a plaque. I mean, it's just of his finger, but
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
It's got his name underneath it.
Yeah, it's sure. Just this.
Yeah.
All those 13-year-old boys, they have no idea what they're doing, but they get to say they did it.
I'll be honest. I've never felt comfortable with that. Like, I've never felt that's where my game was. Like, oh, I'm pretty good at kissing, but man, I start finger blasting a girl, she's just going to lose her shit. Like, I've always been like, I feel like she could do this better. Like, maybe I'll participate in other activities where I feel like I'm stronger than my finger game.
You're applying that hand job logic to that. Yeah.
Although, I'll take a bad hand job any day of the week.
Really? Ladies.
So, oh, yeah.
You're kind of folksy. You know,
I'm willing to put the time in.
I'm with you, Jeff. I'll wait it out.
Yeah. Let's help you. I'll give you some pointers.
Yeah. Just change what you're doing a little bit. Sorry, Jess.
Oh, I just think it's crazy. You took shrooms or what was it?
Yeah. What were we talking about?
I took shrooms and like, I don't know how much, like not enough. Like it wasn't like. We were trying to not send me over the edge, and we all knew that we had to get up and work again the next day. So we were trying to keep it under control, but it was enough. I think the real trippy part happened after I fell asleep because I woke up pretty fucked up. Like I felt like I was stop motion animation almost. Yes. When I was getting out of bed, I was like, "Oh man, I'm not, there's no fluid motion. It's kind of jumpy." You know, like I was getting bad reception, whatever I was looking at myself through. And so I think I just got the laughy, feel good kind of one with nature vibe, and then boom, crashed out, and then all the crazy shit happened while I was asleep.
That's cool though.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds like a good first time for sure.
I know nothing about like mushrooms and all the psychedelics, but I did just watch Have a Nice Trip, or is it Have a Good Trip, Adventures in Psychedelics on Netflix, like 2 days ago. So the whole time I'm watching it going, Donnie, we need to have a babysitter and we need to either take mushrooms or LSD and just like trip out, but be supervised.
Yeah.
Right.
So we're safe because they're like saying, don't look in the mirror. You know, make sure you have cool people with you, not some douche that's going to be like, whoa, you tripping balls.
Yeah. Oh, that's a big one.
Oh, that's my friend James.
Fuck James.
And God love him. I'm sure he'll even listen to this podcast, but fucking James was one of those people who you would trip with and he'd be like, dude, we could murder someone right now and get away with it.
No.
You want to murder somebody? Let's plan a murder. And you're like, dude, I don't want to plan a murder right now. Of all times, I don't want to plan a murder. Like, is right now. Like,
that's so scary that that's where he goes to.
Yeah. Well,
but it's just to fuck with you. Like, he gets his humor out of making you uncomfortable. And I am not a fan of that kind of humor, especially when I'm tripping.
Yeah. Next time, just bring up how many fingers you use when fingering. Yes. And I'm like, whoa, my fingers are fingers.
Yeah. I would much rather contemplate that than contemplate murder while I'm on a quarter of mushrooms.
Yeah.
Austin, have you ever done the psychedelics?
I've done mushrooms. Yeah. And I've done... I think that's the only psychedelic I've done. I've never gotten into acid just because
I probably will never do acid.
Well, so like you described the total, you know, psychedelic moment. I knew mushrooms didn't go that far. Mm-hmm. You know, I have enough friends that do them and say, no, it's just like, it's very euphoric, but it's not delusional. Like I hear LSD can be. That scares me.
Yeah. Plus I don't think I'm into anything that's man-made. Like, I don't know
who made
that, what, you know, if they used the right recipe, if they threw anything extra in there, if they were out of something, so they substituted an ingredient, you know, I don't want to risk that.
So what's crazy is the original LSD that was made back in the day, these people would invent these drugs and like cook up a bunch of it and then try and sell it, you know, like smaller laboratories can produce it. Well, I guess this guy took a sample of LSD and shopped it at something, and the CIA, that's what they were at the time, heard about it, bought all of it.
Yeah.
They bought all of it. So I don't know if it's any still around or whatever, or people figured it out, but that's a quality product if the CIA is like, we'll take all of it, sir.
And they took their test subjects and experimented on them under interrogation to see if it was an effective interrogation tool or not. And for one, that's a test subject. So that's never a good comparison to someone who really has their life on the line trying to protect, you know, secrets, you know, on behalf of their country. So I think it was all a waste of time. And then they kept fucking with the dosage and trying to make it stronger. And they fried a few brains. Like they had the one guy that jumped or was thrown out of a building. They're not sure yet. But they fucked up some people. That fucking CIA.
Would have the people doing the research would also just have dinner parties or get-togethers and dose people to see
without their knowledge.
Introduced it into a room.
Wow.
What kind of calamity it would cause.
Jesus.
But then it was a lot of fun, so they started having parties doing all the time. And then a lot of those guys decided, you know, to buy a bus and wear little shorts and a fun hat and drive across the country, and you got beatniks. So and the hippies. I mean, that they got all that going.
Yeah. You have the old electric Kool-Aid acid test. All
I think the CIA must have created every drug then. They created crack, they created LSD. Surely to God. Well, heroin, the Chinese had already mastered heroin well before the CIA existed. But
we gave that to China.
The heroin opium. Recipe? Oh, really?
Yeah, we were pumping it back in there in the 1800s, selling it to them, taking all their silver.
And they were bringing it back and creating opium dens for all the railroad workers. They got hooked
on it and realized this is the bomb. Let's grow this. And that's that. But yeah, we got all of China hooked on opium for a long time. We made a lot of money. A lot of old money families in the U.S. made money doing that.
God, can you imagine being someone right now that's wealthy that comes from that lineage? And you're like, yeah, how'd you? Oh, my money, my family was big in opium. Yeah,
it's like if you were like quasi wealthy, I think when you heard about that, you're like, yeah, let's get a boat going.
Yeah,
and they take it from India over to China.
Really?
That's crazy.
This is an educational podcast, and I appreciate this
it. It is. Did you get a chance to check out Mack Weldon yet?
Yeah.
Is it awesome or what?
It's great. It's great. It's nice. I bought 4 pairs of shorts from them so far.
Are you serious?
Ooh. Yeah, it's a quality product.
Nice. I got pants. I got a t-shirt. I got some socks. I got some underwear. Their underwear is unmatched. It's the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn in my life.
Really?
Yeah. I'm wearing a pair right now.
Yes. Dude, I have not, because I've been working on the shed every day. I've not wanted to waste them because I know I'll destroy, like I'll probably throw away all the underwear I've been wearing during this. So I've been saving them. Just sweating and mud. Eating
too many tacos and getting mud butt.
Yeah. And I don't want mud butt in my Mack Weldon underwear. Yeah,
you don't want to ruin the nice underwear. These are like date underwear. Yes. You know what I mean? Like I'll save they're these so for a wedding.
Yes.
These are my nice drawers. Like when so I want to impress my lady and make her think I give a damn.
Jess, did the Don get some Mack Weldon?
Oh my gosh. We got tech cashmere long underwear and like a long sleeve shirt. And he's so fancy. Excited about cashmere. And of course, I was like, I'm getting you some boxers because I've heard nothing but good things. So waiting for the boxers to get here now.
Well, I'll tell the people listening to the show right now, I'll tell you this. Mack Weldon believes in smart design, premium fabrics, and simple shopping. It is so easy. Like I went through, I probably changed my mind 10 times on my order until I got exactly what I wanted. I was like, because they got all these, you know, group packs where you can bundle, you know, if you want socks, underwear and shorts or whatever kind of combination package you want. Or you can go individually. So it's just easy. If I can do it as a 48-year-old man who battles with the internet and technology, anyone can do it. Mack Weldon will be the most comfortable underwear, socks, shirts, undershirts, hoodies, and sweatpants, and more that you will ever wear. Promise you that right now. Is that hoodie you're wearing right now, Jeff?
Yeah, Mack Weldon? This is my favorite hoodie immediately. And I get cold, like at my work, it's freezing all the time. I don't know why. I wear this to work and I've worn it once and I had 4 different people compliment me. And I don't buy nice clothes normally, but I have to wear nicer clothes to work, nicer casual. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, every time I wear anything from them, I get compliments and, which for me, I look like I'm homeless. So if you can make me look good.
Yeah.
You look sharp.
He does look good.
I love it, man. It's honestly the most comfortable hoodie I've ever had.
I'm going to have to get on there and order me a hoodie now.
I just ordered another one. It got here today.
Nice.
I'm super excited.
Well, here's the deal, man. Mack Weldon wants you to be comfortable. So if you don't like your first pair of underwear when you get them, you can keep it. They will still refund you. No questions asked. That's how confident they are that you're going to love these underwear. And not only does Mack Weldon's underwear, socks, and shirts look good, they perform well too. Like it's for active people. Trust me. Mack Weldon really does value its loyal customers. That's why they've created the Weldon Blue Loyalty Program. Here's how it works. You create an account, which is totally free. Then level 1, place an order for any amount and never pay for shipping again. Level 2, once you purchase $200 worth of products from Mack Weldon, not only will you continue to receive free shipping, but you will also start saving 20% on every order you make for the next year. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that.
Oh, it stacks to next orders. That's pretty great.
Exactly. Yeah. Also, level 2 grants you access to new products before they're released to anyone else, as well as free gifts added to future orders. I'm telling you, they're all about making you feel like you're a member of the club.
I'm wearing them right now.
Oh, look how good those underwear look.
Got mine on.
Dude.
Now I got to hitch up my pants.
Is Mack Weldon sell belts? Jeff a
belt. You don't need a belt. You got to show those underwear off. All right. So for 20% off, just for our listeners, for 20% off your first order, visit MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code FUNTOWN. That's MackWeldon, MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code FUNTOWN and you get 20% off your first order. So take advantage of the special offer. It's only for you guys. And trust us, all 4 of us agree, Mack Weldon, probably the best clothing company on the internet.
It's the nicest clothes I own by far.
There you go.
Ooh, take a picture in your new boxers when you get them and tag us. I want to see them.
No, don't you dare.
What?
Send it to Jessica.
Just send it to Jess. Just tag Jess.
If they
want to
show off how much they love their Mack Weldon undies, then I'm not going to yell at them.
So. Yeah. But if you place an order, tag us in that order. Screenshot it. Definitely tag us in it. Let us know that you're using it. These promo codes, hey, that's what keeps these sponsors around. And if we keep the sponsors around, then we can put the show out for free. So that's what makes the world work. So I wouldn't recommend a company that I didn't like, either with anybody else, Jeff, Austin, or Jess. Unanimously, we love Mack Weldon. Please use our code.
I do want to say this. So, Todd, you used psychedelics correctly, or any drug for that matter, in the fact that I used to work for a nonprofit called Dance Safe because a friend of mine OD'd on liquid MDMA, but it wasn't. Oh, yeah. It was GHB. Oh. And because they didn't know what they were getting. And our theme, which this was started out in San Francisco at like a gay club, Dance Safe. But our theme was less is more. Like, you can always take more. You can't take any out.
Yeah.
Like, you can always smoke more crack, or you can always do another line of cocaine. You don't have to do a 7-inch ganker when you don't even know what the shit is. Like, a little...
like, what's a 7-inch ganker?
You know, like a 7-inch line of coke, you know, like a pinky finger line.
Your pinky 7 inches?
Well, that's
to the wrist. Wide. Yeah.
That's okay. How wide the line.
Well, but. I had a good coach because Sean was like, I'm like, I don't think I'm feeling it. We should do more. And he was like, no, just let it sit. It takes time. Just ease into it. So without him, I might have just eaten the whole bag and might still be out of it. I might be in some institution right now.
Okay. So my ex-wife and me, when we were married, we came across some mushrooms. I had a show. I was emceeing for John Evans on a Sunday night at Crackers Comedy Club. We get done with the show. His flight left in the morning. He goes, "What are you doing?" I said, "I'm getting ready to go home and do shrooms with my wife and her girlfriend. What are you doing?" And he goes, "I'm going with you to do shrooms with your wife and her girlfriend." Her girlfriend had never done mushrooms before. I've done a lot of psychedelics. I'm not proud of it. I haven't done any in like 14 years, but I've done my fair share.
Right.
Anyway, I try to, as if with Jessica or Todd, if it's somebody's first time, ease them into it. Make sure that you have the right atmosphere. What's your favorite music? What's your favorite food? Let's have those there. Let's have all your comforting things around you that in case things start going awry, you can be comforted. You can be surrounded by stuff you know and love.
Damn, I want you to run a psychedelic camp right now.
I know.
Let's set the mood. Let's make everything in our power possible for you to have a good trip. Well, my ex-wife didn't have the same philosophy. She was like, "Hey, let's just split a bag of mushrooms. I don't care how much you've done or how much I've done in the past. We're just going to split a quarter of mushrooms and wash it down with some Jack Daniels."
Oh.
So me and Evans, we come back. John Evans, he's a hilarious comedian. Look him up online. Yeah. We come back and we take mushrooms and they're way into their trip. They're like 2 hours ahead of us.
Oh boy.
At one point, we are all sitting in a circle on the floor, and her friend, who is losing her goddamn mind, goes, "We should all fuck." And we all are like, "No, that is not what we're here for." And Evans is looking at me like, "What the fuck did you just bring me into?" I'm like, "No, we are not cool with this. This is not how this is planned out." At one point, she was laying on my couch. I was trying to talk her down. She was having a horrible trip, crying. And I was massaging her forehead slowly, standing over her when she projectile vomited into my face.
Oh,
no.
A mixture of Jack Daniels and chewed up mushrooms.
Oh, my God.
All over my couch, to the point we had to throw the couch out the next day. That's how badly this woman vomited.
Did she throw up in your mouth?
Oh, straight into my face, like a Monty Python throw up, like projectile, like 4 or 5 feet into the air from her back.
Oh my gosh.
At another point in the night, so we take her in to wash her off in the shower, and I'm like, you go take care of your stupid ass friend. I'm going to take... Me and John Evans take my whole couch because it's just covered in vomit, and we throw it out on my front porch. Just, we toss it out. We'll deal with that tomorrow. I am now tripping balls. I'm in no shape to deal with vomit. So front porch onto the couch, or couch onto the front porch.
You just booted her out there.
No, she's in the shower washing vomit off of her. Me and John Evans, we boot the couch. The entire couch from my living room.
From that going into your mouth. That was right.
So wait, she had to take a shower while she was still tripping and throwing up.
Well,
and so
she was just covered. We had to take her clothes. She was just covered head to toe.
She's like, I'm getting what I wanted. Yeah. We're all going to do it. Here it happens.
These clothes were coming off.
So it's at this point, it's now 4:30 in the morning, and I've never seen anyone have this violent of a reaction to mushrooms before. So I'm on the phone with my friend who I got the mushrooms from, and I'm like, dude, are these fucking bad mushrooms? Like, I got somebody, should I take her to the ER and dump her? Right. You know,
did you eat those pukers? Eat the pukers, man?
So, and my friend reassures me, dude, you can't OD on mushrooms. Like, you'll be fine. She's just having a bad trip. Don't worry. Don't take her to the ER. Just tuck her in bed. And
I think this is an OD, though.
When totally.
It goes this far, you have affected your life and diminished it to some degree when you do something like this. This is an overdose.
And I'm a new comic. Like, I'm just trying to impress this senior comic. And I have an OD on my hands at my house with him and my wife. And we don't know. At one point, she was zipped up into my igloo sleeping bag that was the only place she felt safe, was completely covered up and zipped up.
Does it have the hole in it?
Like, yes, just this part for the mouth and the nose. Like,
I think I'm safe in here, everybody.
Oh my gosh. So everyone was on drugs though, right? There was not one person sober technically.
No, we were all way messed up and in no shape to be handling anyone. So now comes 6 o'clock in the morning and John Evans goes, hey, dude, I need to get to the airport. Can you? And I go, no, I'm tripping my balls off. I can't take you to the airport. And he goes, well, I got to fly out. And I go, well, luckily for you, I know a cabbie who drives tripping people around.
Wait. He specializes in just that?
Well, he specializes in taking me and my friends around. Let's put it that way. So I call him up. I go, hey, man, I got a guy here. He needs to get to the airport. He's tripping on mushrooms. Can you watch out for him? No problem. Mark comes, picks him up, takes him to the airport. Me and my wife go to bed. This is now Monday morning, 7 a.m., and I just hear crying out our bedroom window. I hear a woman crying. And I look out, and here is Kate in our side yard in her Hanes and Way bra and panties, just crying, going, I don't know where I'm at. My neighbors are leaving for work. They're getting in their cars and driving. And I'm like, you have to go get your friend, you shitty, shitty human being. Like, I was so mad at my wife. Like, that's what I knew me and her weren't meant to be.
Oh,
I'm just
God.
Like, you got your friend way fucked up and you just left her. Like, she's out roaming our neighborhood right now.
Had you been living there a while, too?
I forgot to tell you, my next door neighbor was a DEA agent.
Holy crap.
Yeah, oh, my God. I mean, you guys have balls. I'm guessing scared, crying woman in her whitey tighties is a little concerning to any law enforcement officer
or anyone really who's walking by on a Monday morning.
That would definitely be I think I got a monkey in a barrel type of case here, and I think this can be open and shut before lunch if I saw that.
So she ends up bringing her in. I end up texting the girl later that day. I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, she should not have given you that much. And, you know, I'm glad you're okay. And she just wrote back. She goes, I had the best time. Thank you so much. I feel like I've opened my mind, and I've never felt better.
Get out of here. No.
And that's the thing. And then
and you guys have been together ever since.
No. So, but I thought it was funny because then I started thinking back, and I've had bad trips in my life. But as bad as they are when they're happening, there's still something the next day that you feel better. You feel more alive. You feel reset. Like, apparently I needed to get that out, or I needed to work through that, and now I have, and I can go on.
What do you think it is? Do you think your brain's just tired, or?
I don't know. Like, on acid, I've never had a bad trip. On mushrooms, I would say I'm 50-50. Whereas I know people the absolute other way who, but.
Oh, dang. So now I don't know if I ever, what I want to try, when I want to try it.
Mushrooms are fine. They're pretty. I've never heard anyone having a bad time on mushrooms. I have heard of people having a bad time on acid.
See, yeah, and I'm the exact opposite way. Like, I've taken 10 hits of acid and still been able to control myself.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I've taken a quarter of mushrooms and locked myself in a bedroom because I thought an ex was coming to stab me with scissors while she was wrapping Christmas presents.
Oh my gosh.
So, well, that's just a general fear all the time, isn't it? Fear of being stabbed with scissors by your significant other. I mean, that's got to be a sort of.
How should you make the scissors glide on the paper like that? He's gonna do it on my skin.
Yeah, that was one. I went to a club on too many mushrooms and I freaked out and I had to leave. So my ex-girlfriend lived in Broad Ripple, and I'm like, oh, I'll go over there until my friends are ready to leave and bring me home. And she was wrapping Christmas presents, and somehow I got in my head that since I broke her heart, she was going to murder me. And I was like, hey, can I talk to you out in the hallway? And I walked her out into the hallway, and then I ran back in. I shut her bedroom door and I barricaded myself in it so that she couldn't come back in and stab me with the scissors she was wrapping her Christmas presents with.
Oh my gosh.
On the opposite time, that is the weirdest story that girl has about one of her exes.
He just
freaked out. He got scared of Christmas and went into a bedroom.
Dude, my two friends came later to get me. How they found me, I do not know. But they were out in the hallway going, dude, it's us. Come let us in. She doesn't have the scissors. And I'm like, it's her. She's changing her voice. Like, it's not you guys. Like, it took them like an hour to talk me out of this bedroom. I was not in a good place.
You're a demon.
Yes.
Quit skinwalking and my buddies.
I think psychedelics are one of those things that if life's going good for you, you're going to have a great trip no matter what psychedelic you're. If you have a lot of demons or you're in a bad part in life, like, oh, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I can go on. Well, don't take fucking mushrooms.
Jess, what's the hardest thing you think you've gotten into?
Marijuana. or a lot of alcohol. Like, I blew a .25 and I had to go. They took me to the hospital because apparently I was so drunk. I was saying I took Vicodin too. And they're like, she's going to die. Let's take her to the hospital.
But this was in high school, right?
It was. I was 16.
Had you taken the Vicodin too?
I didn't. I was referring to another time in the past that I've taken the Vicodin.
Oh, okay.
I don't know why. I just reverted to, I was like, hey, yeah, I did this and I did this. Blah, blah, blah. So weird. I filled a Sprite bottle full of vodka, just 20 ounces. And there was another girl I was like friends with at the time because we were on a field trip to the Newport Aquarium. That's right. It was me. And I was like, you know, to make the fish cooler as if we had a little bit of a buzz. So it was a 20-ounce bottle of Sprite was full of skull vodka, like dark eyes, something real cheap because we probably gave a 20 to someone that was old enough to buy it, and they bought a $6 handle of crap. Oh, my gosh. And so my friend would take, like, some sips on the bus, but I'm just like, yeah, burr. So you get to the point where you forget you're drinking the vodka because I had a Sprite bottle that had Sprite and the other had vodka.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd forget which was which. And then at one point, a random girl drank some of the vodka, and that's how you know I'm wasted, because I'm 16. I'm not going to share my vodka.
Oh, yeah. No, you can't share your booze.
I'm like, where's your money? Huh? So stupid. But I was still gone. I didn't even know. Yeah. And by the time I got to the Newport Aquarium, there were no teachers on our bus. It was just like the moms, like playing substitutes. Oh. So we were playing NWA.
There's not an easier group of people to roll than field trip chaperone parents. Oh my gosh.
Everything I heard after we stopped at a gas station halfway down, and I went to go pee, and there was a huge line. So I went to pee behind the gas station, and I did. And I realized I also started my period. So then I went back on the bus, got supplies, cut everyone in the gas station, and announced, it's okay, I'm on my period. And that's actually when I blacked out. And I woke up in a hospital. So,
whoa.
So stupid. So I basically, I was by myself drinking vodka, like hitting my head on the freaking window of the bus. And I was barefoot. I hate being barefoot. I hate it. It just like hurts my feet.
Apparently not when you're drunk.
Yeah. Fell off the bus barefoot because I was like, someone from the aquarium got on the bus and they're giving us instructions on like what to do, I guess. And I'm like, let's get the fuck out of here. And all the moms are just like looking at me like,
what is going on with that girl?
Can I just say, I had to take an emergency phone call, is what it said. So I left and I came back just right when Jess was saying, it's okay, everybody. I just had my period.
Apparently, that perfect timing. Allowed me to cut in line, though. It worked. No one questioned it. Like, well, I guess she has to go.
So you said you don't like to walk around barefoot because it hurts your feet?
Well, like in pavement. Like I was on a bus and I tried to just take off, go to the Newport Aquarium without shoes on, apparently. I just took my flip-flops off because it was probably sandals or flip-flops. Or I lost them. But I fell off just face first. And I only know that because of the mark I had. Oh, my God. The sister had to call my mom and she was so mad. I remember actually, I don't remember. But mom told me, they gave me the phone. And she's like, Jessica, what the hell? And she's like, just starting to go off. And I was like, hello? And I go, oh. And I just gave it back to the teacher. And I was like, she's mad. I don't want to talk to her. My mom was pissed. I didn't talk to her. So, yeah. So really, I'm kind of lame. Only marijuana and alcohol.
Yeah, but haven't you taken enough? You've eaten edibles that has made you feel like you're tripping before, haven't you?
Oh yeah.
Like,
oh my god.
Too much edible.
Anytime I do something around, I feel like if there's other people around, that's when I spaz out and I become that person. I'm like, oh no, oh god, tunnel vision. It's happening. Does anyone else see? I'm going black. I'm going to pass out, and then I'm like freaking out, and so I'm the one that's not cool. I think it was my metabolism during that time, or maybe my blood pressure change, or blood sugar, whatever you say.
I have some 400 milligram chocolates.
Whoa.
And oh, gosh.
They put you out. Like, those are for bedtime only. Like, you got to be ready to go to sleep. Because I tried to take one and stay up, and I was just like, I can't talk right now.
That's a good load there.
Yeah. And you never know, like, right? Like, does this corner have more? Is it more concentrated than this corner or whatever?
Yeah.
And I took broke a square off, and I must have got the strong corner because I literally could not get words to come out of my mouth.
Yes.
I was like, to go to bed, I just raised my hand and said, wave bye to everybody. I just walked in the house.
Like, I feel like if you aren't going to go to sleep, like if you're going to do a edible that's that high, like a 300 or a 4, even a 250, like you have to be like, oh, I'm going canoeing today. Or I'm like, we did 300s and went to the state fair. Now, granted, we spent a lot of time riding the fair train, but it was awesome. But had I been at home, I would have been asleep. You know what I mean? But because I was out in public, I still had to maintain. And we ended up having the best time.
I agree with Jeff that once you get over about 150, that's camping drugs right there. I mean, that's you're out and about, you're active, using your body, not sitting down anywhere.
Yeah. Because once you sit down, you're done.
Yeah,
you're done. Once you get deep enough into an edible and you sit in a chair, it's over.
I don't think I've had that many milligrams, though, in an edible. I've had like maybe 15 to 20. And then I've had mystery cookies that are delightful. And you're like, I don't know what's even in here.
Yeah. I put neither it in do they.
Yeah, yeah, they don't know how much.
And I'm like, oh, it smells like it. These are definitely wheat cookies. And I'm like, yum, 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 yum. And I'll just eat like half because I'm afraid of how much is in there. And then about 45 minutes later, it's like, oh, my fingers are feeling numb. It's happening. And then I try to eat everything in the house.
Yeah.
The problem with weed cookies, at least the ones I always get, like they're so delicious that I love cookies. I have a problem with cookies anyway. So I can't just like break off a chunk and eat it and be done.
Oh no.
So I'm gonna have to go get like real snickerdoodles and bring a tray and set them and just take the corner of the weed
snickerdoodle. Dude, is there a better cookie than a snickerdoodle?
It's the best cookie in the world.
My grandmother, God rest her soul, that woman made a snickerdoodle like no other. They could be 3 weeks old and still be soft. I don't know how she did it.
Awesome.
It was amazing. It was cookie technology beyond her time.
Wow. Yeah, I and my grandma would always put a slice of Marnie does too when she makes cookies, puts like a slice of bread in there because I guess it absorbs moisture or something, keeps it out of it, and they stay fresher longer.
That's really awesome.
Yeah.
I do that with my weed.
You do?
Yeah, I'll cut off like a little piece. Like if it's really dry, I'll take a little piece of bread and stick it in there.
Well, there you
but
go.
I also learned if you put too much bread in there, it'll mold your fucking weed. So don't.
We're full of all kinds of tips and tricks.
It's like a science episode almost.
It is.
Austin, what's your favorite cookie?
Chocolate chip.
Just a Toll House?
No. My wife makes these chocolate chip cookies. They're the best cookies I've ever had.
Really?
Literally.
You're not just saying that because it's your wife.
No, like they're the best cookies I've had. And it's a simple recipe. It's just.
What's the chip to cookie ratio?
Now, that's where she's smart. We only put in half of what's recommended.
Oh, okay.
That's how you do it.
Yes.
Too many chocolate chip cookies and you need to get the fuck out of the kitchen and don't even talk about chocolate chip cookies because now what you're serving is chocolate with cookie bits. And that is not what we're here for.
Yeah, I would agree. And now I like snickerdoodles, my favorite. And now I would say second is probably oatmeal raisin, which is weird. Like I get it. It's kind of an oddball cookie. But I can eat oatmeal raisin cookies for days.
Yeah.
For days.
I can I don't see know that. What They're pretty is. Good.
Yeah.
Dude, Costco has an oatmeal raisin cookie that comes in like a tub. They're like small and they're hard. Like you're like, oh, really? I want a soft one. Oh my God. I will eat an entire tub in one sitting. They are the best. You dip them in some milk. They have the right absorption ratio. Like they don't. Oh, it's. Sorry.
Does everybody?
I'm a weirdo. I don't do the milk with cookies. I do not like that. I don't like that.
You
like,
don't even drink milk with your cookies?
No. Donnie always does. He gets like cookies, he gets his milk, little old man mode. He's like, all right, I'm gonna party with my Oreos or whatever he's eating.
Why he likes milk with his cookies? Because he's American. Fucking normal. Yeah.
I know. I'm a weirdo. I don't know why.
What do you have? An orange juice? Yeah.
Are you giving blood? Yeah,
I'm eating cookies, chasing it with more cookies, and then maybe some Swiss cake rolls and Hostess cupcakes. Because have you ever had a birthday cake cookie or Hostess has those freaking cupcakes right now? I just ate the entire box. Like Donnie yelled at me and he only saved two because he put them in the fridge and I didn't find them. I'm so embarrassed, but it's true.
What is this cake you talk of?
Oh, it's the Hostess cakes. Like they have the swirls. We used to call them JJ's, but like the chocolate cakes Hostess
made. Oh, yeah, with the little white curl, the pigtail thing on it. Yeah.
They made a birthday cake version, which it's like, shut the door, give them all to me. I can't stop when I have one. So happy who's got time to drink milk? Yeah. Like,
so you're doing them dry. You're just hitting, that much pastry dry.
Yeah, I don't really eat cookies.
It's maniacal. I don't know what kind of.
I think it's because I don't eat cookies as much. I like the cupcake moist feel, like the Swiss cake rolls and whatnot. But if there's an Oreo there, I'm just
Is I'm that family. Your favorite cookie?
You know, my favorite is the ooey gooey butter cookies that they make like in St. Louis and down south.
Oh, it's yeah. Like those are good.
Butter. It's just like.
Yeah.
Oh, what? I don't even know what it is.
There's more butter in those, I think, than any other ingredient.
Yes. Like it's the cookies I brought at Christmas, Jeff.
Oh, okay.
They're crap. Yeah,
those are good.
Those are too much.
What is the Hostess product with the. It looks like an ice cream sandwich, but it's two layers of chocolate cake, and then this kind of has whipped
Susie
cream.
Q.
Is that Susie Q? Yeah. Okay, I was thinking Swiss roll. What's the Hostess?
That's like
Swiss
a ho ho.
Ho ho. Okay.
Okay. So, Susie Q fact for Austin. That's the first thing I took shrooms in. It's funny you brought that up.
You just broke them up and spread
just
it, sprinkled
them
on
a Susie Q and slammed it.
Hmm.
See, I was taking a bite of pizza and then I would throw the mushrooms in my mouth and just chew it up all together.
That's a good way to do it.
How many mushrooms? People that just
eat them.
I would think one mushroom. Start with like one.
No, it was probably, I don't know, like the size of a dime in diameter and just crumpled up little pieces.
Huh. Oh, so, that's it?
Well, three of those.
To start.
Yeah, oh. I did that. And then like a little bit later, did another one of those. And a little bit later, another one of those. So
that's a good
I don't
way
know.
To do it.
Is it microdosing, kind of? I don't know.
No, microdosing is like doing like a 30 second of that day.
Yeah.
Okay.
You also have to annoyingly let everyone know that you're microdosing.
Yeah.
I'm curious about it. I've never done it. And me and my girlfriend have been talking about it a lot lately. I think with all this being stuck in the house and stuff, I think is very like not helping people with depression. And mm-hmm. I've heard a lot of good things about microdosing. So I've been thinking about giving it a shot.
I've heard good things about it. And I can see why taking just a little bit like that every day could, if you're like a person who's depressed, how that could raise your spirits. I mean,
but supposedly you don't feel any, like if you're doing it right, you don't even feel it. Like it's such a minimal amount that your body doesn't even, you can't even realize you took it. Like
then I don't see the reason in taking it. I want to feel,
maybe your brain, it's
a chemical changing balance, your right? brain chemistry.
Here's some more dopamine or serotonin or whatever.
I think what Todd's referring to more is called substance abuse.
Yes. I'm more into the substance abuse plan of doing it every day.
Yeah. Doing it sort of forget everything.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm going to do it every day, I want it to be a habit.
Yeah.
Quotation marks. Yeah.
Lose some friends.
Right.
Embarrass yourself at some point. Wake up on Jeff's porch crying. That type of stuff.
What's the longest any of you have gone without drinking alcohol?
Ooh. I think in high school I went a little bit longer, you know, at least a week probably. But I'm going to say that since I've been legally allowed to buy and drink alcohol, I've never gone more than 2 weeks without a drink.
Yeah.
Just socially. But I might have one beer a month. I don't know. Sometimes I'll have 27. Who knows?
Right.
Yeah,
I would say, yeah, I mean, like a boot camp, we couldn't drink, obviously. So in like 3 solid months, but I don't think since then, I was 18.
Yeah,
I don't think I've gone longer than 10 days, maybe without at least a drink.
Beer or something.
Yeah. Has anybody ever had to like try to just you're like, oh, I'm just going to dry out for a while, get super healthy and just not drink?
Not on purpose.
Not in this group, Todd.
Good. It's a good group. Good group.
I'm weird in that, like, when my life starts going astray, like, I stop doing everything. Like,
really?
I'm like, I gotta fucking fix my shit. And then I've not drank for years.
You've gone before. Years?
Yeah, a couple. Wow. Like, I'll drink for 3 or 4 years and then not drink for a year or two and then drink for 3 or 4 years and not drink for a year or two. And
wow. That's a long time.
Now, I smoked for 35 years straight. I quit that once for 2 years and I'm currently at like a year, just over a year
Oh, yay. Smoke
free again.
That's great.
Oh, nice.
But I have this thing where, like, I'm only allowed two vices in my life. And so that's all I can afford. So if the other vices are more fun, then drinking's the first to go. I don't give a shit if I don't have a drink.
But yeah.
The others are usually going to stay.
I stopped gambling. I took gambling out of my life, at least for now. So it's been since February, probably, since I've placed a bet.
Yeah?
I would say.
How do you feel?
I feel pretty good. Like, I really don't miss it. But
it's not as fun watching games.
You're right. And here's part of it. I was forced to watch, like, every game of every sport, you know, at least monitor it in the background. And in order for me to force myself to do that, I had to gamble to make right. I had to have some skin in the game in order right. to enjoy Dude, it.
I get it.
You know, I don't really like sitting and watching the middle of the season NBA basketball. You know what I mean? Like, I like playoffs, but, you know, like, but to have to watch it so you can talk about it the next day, I'm like, I've got to put some money on this.
Yeah.
And then before you know it, you got like $600 spread out there, you know, all over the place. Because once you're in the app, you're like, ooh, look at that bet. Bah, 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 you know.
Which one were you using?
I used
a bunch.
Which one?
My bookie. Man. My which bookie for a long won't time.
Let you use them
yeah.
anymore.
Yeah, yeah. That's what
we used my bookie before the legalization came around, and then pretty much I stuck to DraftKings and
FanDuel.
FanDuel, yeah. Probably most of my action on FanDuel.
Do you ever bet on any fights?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I love to bet on the fights, but the odds are fucked up usually because
especially UFC fights seem yeah. really hard to win on.
Yeah, because you're like, yeah, I know that guy's going to win, but it's like 2,500 to 1. So if he gets hit and falls down and doesn't get up, you know, I lose a fuck ton of money and I have to bet a fuck ton of money to make any money.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of weird, but. I would bet on soccer sometimes, have no idea who in the fuck I was betting on. Just like, fuck it, let's see what happens. My son Bailey was betting on tennis.
Of course he was.
And he was on a run there for a while. He's like, I'm killing it in tennis. Yeah.
Oh, right now people are betting on the Korean baseball organization and table tennis.
Oh, yeah.
And then German football, if you will.
Oh, boy. It's kind of fun when you don't. I would say it's more fun when you don't know anything about the sport.
Because you just start picking jersey colors,
yeah.
names,
yeah.
all that. Uh-huh. You just like somebody's attitude. That's,
yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
It is.
I'm going to download the app, Todd.
I'm also one of those assholes if, like, I'm at, like, let's say a backyard barbecue and they're watching the game. I don't give two fucks about the game.
Right.
Somebody's way passionate about one team and I hate that guy, I automatically root for the other team.
Right.
And I will take your bet just to talk shit to you that the rest of the game. Like, oh, your team's gonna let's put $20 on it. And then just for the chance that he loses, and like it's worth $20 to me that he has to hand me money. Because I don't give a fuck one way or another on the game. I never do. Who gives a shit? It's a sport ball game. I don't give a fuck. I love to bet on it. It's so much fun, especially when you have no skin in it. You don't care one way or another. I didn't have $600 spread around. But
oh, I've had some runs. Like
$10 on a game, it makes a game more fun to me. Mm-hmm. $5 on a game's more fun to me. I don't have to put $100.
I couldn't do it. I participated in a Knights of Columbus NFL betting pool, and I became a monster. I was an animal.
Really?
I couldn't handle it. Yeah, It was, and the problem is that you're covering the spread all the time and the what, the over under or whatever. It was bad. It got to the point where I'm standing.
Was it like parlay cards?
You like fill it out every week on what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And whether or not they're going to cover it. Because they give the odds.
Right.
Yeah.
And so whatever the odds are on like Tuesday or Wednesday, they get locked in. So that's it. So if they change, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You're playing what's on the sheet.
It's like the old betting slips you used to have way back in the day.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Knights of Columbus. So it's like 1961.
It's like the mafia. The mafia slips. Yeah.
So we were doing that. But I was standing and I don't even watch football really. So I'm in a bar in a Star Wars shirt telling dudes I need the Browns to score three more points. Like, okay, you weirdo.
When I was hot heavy into poor Marnie, she would try to sit down and watch the games with me. And, you know, and I'm just quiet because I'm all into it. Because sometimes I had a lot of money going one way or another. And then, you know, I don't know, somebody would steal, get a steal, run the, you know, fucking 360 dunk. And she'd be like, oh, that's good, right? And I'm like, I just lost $400 fucking. Oh. Yeah. No, it's not good. And I'd be a big asshole. She'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to bed.
Yeah. Todd, did you see how high he jumped? And he's, that was fun.
Yeah.
I can see God damn it.
See, I do. Well, I haven't, and I haven't since I had a family that I try to maintain. But I love fantasy football. I played that.
Fantasy football is fun.
And the best part was like $100 covered me for the whole season.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I had skin in every game. I at least had a player usually in every game. So no matter whose house I was at, I could still enjoy the football game.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't give a shit. And I always came in first or second. Like I pissed off everyone in my league because I knew the least of everyone and I would always do the best.
Right.
It just infuriated everyone, which made me even happier.
I like the FanDuel week to week fantasy because you know how you get in a league with your buddies and you got a real good roster and then your fucking quarterback breaks his leg the first game of the season. Or you got Andrew Luck and he quits and then your season's fucked.
That would happen to you, Tom.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, because every week you start over and you're picking a new roster every week, you know, or for every Thursday, every Sunday.
Just pick whatever roster you want.
Yeah, they give you a budget and you got to, you know, draft within that budget. So if you spend a lot on your quarterback, you got to, I got to spend less here or, you know, vice versa. So
yeah, I think I could get into that, but I'm going to stay away from that because that sounds like losing $600 a week.
I'm trying to only waste my money on pub sheds now. So
speaking of the pub shed, is it up to code yet?
I wouldn't say it's ever going to be up to code. If you were a code person in charge of regulating code, you would probably come in and have some issues, but it's very functional. We have electricity. We have a 65-inch TV. It runs off a hotspot very well. So like the other night, Sean and I ordered last night, we ordered Chinese food, had it delivered. We sat at the bar and ate Chinese food, drank Coronas and rented Midway and watched it all at the bar in the backyard.
No, that's cool.
It was awesome. We're like, yeah, this is what we're talking about.
So is it done?
It's done. We're just prettying it up right now. You know what I mean? Little odds and ends. Like we're staining the bar top. We put the first layer of stain on a few hours ago. So I think in the next hour or two, we can put a second coat on. And then tomorrow we'll polyurethane it. And then it's pretty well done at that point. Now my yard is destroyed. I have no grass left. It rained. I don't know if you've noticed. It's rained for 2 weeks straight. Every day we've had some amount of rain. There's not been one day since we started this motherfucker that we've not gotten some amount of rain. And all the foot traffic or people working and moving boards and whatever.
I should have given you a heads up on that.
Yeah.
On the weather. Well, no, you really have to put down plywood every day and then lift it up at the end of the day and stack it against your house or you will have no grass at the end of just. And that's just like normal back and forth for 2 days. We'll do that to your grass. We'll kill it without plywood.
This has been 2 weeks. And thankfully it's contained within 8 foot all the way. Now the back part of my yard anyway, the back third of my yard as I got near the fence where the shed was anyway, grass never really grew anyway because it's so shaded and there's so many trees there. So all's not lost. Like we still have a little bit of grass up toward the house.
Yeah.
But we're gonna have to reseed
maybe
the whole fucking
decorative
yard.
Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe I can do one of those Arizona backyards, like areas where they can't grow grass and it's just all rock, like Mr. Miyagi's backyard.
There's some cool stone choices out there that aren't super expensive that you don't want to do your whole yard in them. But if you do like a cool corner or half circle or, you know, piece of pie style thing, it can jazz up your yard a bit.
If anybody needs number 5 stone, otherwise known as River Rock. You all on this podcast can have as much of it as you want.
Oh my
free.
Gosh, I think I need it. I need my deck.
How big's the number five?
It's probably, I would say half the size of a golf ball, I would say.
I believe I have some extra number five if anyone's interested as well.
What I figured out.
What are you using it for?
Well, one thing I figured out, Jeff, is I'm not good at calculating cubic feet.
Dude, nobody is.
So, like, I thought that I needed 3 yards of it delivered, which is quite a bit. And I only needed, like, an eighth of that to put under my deck, you know, because it's a floating deck that's attached kind of to the fence on one side and the shed on the other. And then I used those deck blocks to set in the ground instead of concreting in posts. Yeah. So it sets on that. So I had to put like a 4-inch layer of rock underneath it. And we had to dig down in the earth like 8 inches to get it flush with the existing deck. Right. So we did all that. And then I had this huge mound of like pretty much the whole delivery left in my driveway.
Oh,
right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suck.
Yeah. At
it.
And let me tell you, that shit sucks to shovel. So whoever comes to pick it up, if they're shoveling it into their truck, have a good couple hours bring a good shovel.
It sucks.
I have shoveled in 7 years of landscaping. I've shoveled so many 53s and 8s and I would have went with a 53. Yeah. I would have went with a crushed gravel more for under the thing. But, you know, you live your life, Todd.
Well, that's another thing is I'm not good at guessing on what size stone I need. That's another thing. Yeah.
You should spray paint some of them like glow in the dark. And there you go. You have a new path in your backyard.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah.
There you go. Throw that shit over where nothing will grow. Just put like a nice little edging, like a metal edging along it. It'll look dope.
I am like on the
flowers in there
on the one side where the deck doesn't continue off of it, like the side with the double doors that you enter the shed through. There's no deck and it's just a mud hole right now. So I think whatever people don't take, I'll just shovel it down there and then put that pulverized or, that real fine
53s
that you can pack down real tight and just put that all the way over there because I'll put my grill and shit there.
Let me tell you, put down cloth before you put that rock,
okay?
Because if not, that weeds mud will seep up.
Okay.
No, the mud, it'll sink into the earth over time. And if you put down cloth, it'll hold it a lot more. First of all, it won't seep down into the earth and it'll hold a level, longer.
Gotcha.
Than if you don't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, everything in that back part of the yard sinks a good 10 inches. I figure judging by the back of my shed to the front of the shed, like it's like ramped up, like, you know what I mean? Like, and when we were back there trying to shovel it out, you would sink the 8 inches just standing there as you're shoveling until you hit.
Is this in quicksand somewhere?
And that's what it felt like. It felt like quicksand because the Indiana clay, right? It's so fucking dense and so slimy. Like you would try to shovel and then you would get it in the shovel and then you would have to unstick one foot, step back, unstick the other, go dump your shovel, and the fucking shit would not come off the shovel. We had to do a 12 by 14 foot area like this, 8 inches deep. It took all day. Four guys all day.
WD-40 help that? Like, can you put WD-40 on your shovel and it helped the dirt not stick?
Just.
Like, or maybe not.
Great timing with the shovel tips.
Maybe it's olive oil or like the spray Pam. There's something I think you can put on there.
Well, I appreciate you telling me that now after I broke my back for an entire day.
Well, I've just never heard of.
It's a snow shovel. You do it for the snow shovel, like when you're shoveling snow.
That makes more sense. Yeah.
But maybe it'll still work for dirt.
Is your shed currently sinking?
It's done sinking now, but you can tell from when it was first set, it's dropped about, I would say, a good 6 inches anyway in the back to the front. Yeah. I can tell because of the shoveling about 8 inches down, like the earth doesn't move, but that 8-inch layer shit's going to sink 8 inches.
And what'd you do with all that dirt?
It's
like, just, that's a lot of dirt.
That is a lot of dirt.
It's still somewhat in piles.
I don't know. Give us a guess, Todd.
47.
47.
It's, it's easily half a football field.
Good Lord.
So it's still two big piles of dirt there, but we used a lot of it to shovel back in around, you know, the deck where we dug out and stuff. So,
dude,
we'll see.
You realize that you have a bigger TV in your shed than I do in my house. So now I have to go out and buy a 65 inch TV. Because I just, my manhood's lost. I'm hurt. Well,
I also have a bigger TV in my shed than I have in my house. So don't feel bad.
Okay. I feel
what bad. Happened was we went to Walmart just looking. I have like 55 inch TVs, I think, in my house. So that's what we just went to go get.
Modest.
And, yeah. Regular it's TV. Big, but not too crazy.
What do you have behind you, Austin? A 65?
I think that might be a 58. It's an odd size.
What brand is it?
It's a
it's JVC? From it's from it's Bangladesh.
Samsung. Oh, Samsung. Ooh,
I have one of those.
So I bought a TCL at Walmart, and we went there looking for just, you know, I like LG TVs. They're simple, the smart TVs, because you know, I don't. It's only a smart TV. It's only going to run off the hotspot of my phone. I know that already. So. But I can log into Netflix, Amazon, Pandora, Spotify for music, all that stuff. So it's good. But I get to Walmart and they only have 65 inch TVs, which is you know how they set out the big island when they have a sale. So there's a big island of those, these TCLs, and they have 175 inch there and just like tiny TVs. Like they're out of TVs at the Walmart I went to.
Stimulus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I was like, well, fuck. All right. Well, I'll get the 65 inch TV. And then afterward, I'm glad I did. It's the perfect size for out there. But otherwise, yeah, I would have definitely gotten the 55. That's usually my go-to.
Dude, you're my hero. That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll see. And then the mount didn't work. I had a...
The mount never works. Dude, never had one mount work out. It's always the second mount that works.
Not compatible with the TCL. I had to turn it upside down to get it to work. So I have it mounted upside down. And I had to put a support board against the wall to keep it level because it's so wobbly off the thing. It's,
oh, no.
You can take the boy out of Shelbyville, but you cannot take the Shelbyville out of the boy. I love that even the TV isn't mounted to code. It's just squirrely in there. All right, do the squirrels squirrely. Enjoy your squirrely shed?
Yeah, I think so. Them and the carpenter bees. They're fresh cedar. And they're all over the fucking place.
Oh, man.
So if anybody knows
how to... Did I see you built a pergola on part of it?
Well, it looked like a pergola until we put barn metal as a roof over the roof.
Ooh, did you bring like in that. The same roof crew or a new barn metal roof crew for phase two of the roofing?
A new crew. Project.
That I'm crew... glad to see that the board approved the funding for phase two, Todd. That's really great news.
The phase one crew, the professional roofers, refused to return, probably because they had to sit and wait forever as we ran to get extra shit that we didn't have that we were supposed to have for them. So we end up doing it ourselves. Luckily, a friend of mine, Marco Rivera, who listens to this show, he is a roofer, and he said he and his lady drove 4 hours down, and they stayed here two nights, and he did the roof. The metal.
Oh, wow. So,
yeah.
Hey, you brought in an out of state roofing crew.
Yeah.
Look at this. So the shirt I'm wearing, I just now realized, is Garrity Stone, which for those of you who live in Indianapolis, for all your stone needs, go to Garrity Stone. They have your 53s. They got your river rock. They have your boulders for your boulder fountains. They'll drill your boulders for you. Go down and see Corey. At Garrity Stone. I don't even know if I'm legally allowed to talk about this on the podcast, but I love those guys. I used them for 7 years. I don't even work with them anymore, but that's how much I love them. I'm still wearing one of their shirts, and I still would promote their company because they, if you live in Indianapolis and you need any stones or boulders or anything, those dudes are awesome. So
yeah, I'll use them on my next one. FTC hasn't cracked down on advertising on podcasts yet, so you're good.
Okay.
I think there you can promote whoever you want.
All right. Good. We're promoting them.
I just now noticed I was wearing that, and I'm like, we're doing all the Stone talk, and I'm wearing my favorite Stone Places shirt.
You're like, I don't know where we go.
All right. Well, this has been fun, guys. Thanks for hanging out again, and I'll send this invite out to whoever can come. You know, whatever. I know it's social distancing and all that stuff, but if anybody wants to stop by, make it stop by in shifts or whatever.
I don't feel like weekend. You've been social distancing, Todd, and I respect you. I don't. I'm jealous of you. Like, you look like you're having a great life while I'm in my house hiding out, wearing my mask in my car just to piss off hillbillies.
Well, we have been down, like, the most there's ever been here on one given day was 6 people. So, and that was the 2 professional roofers. We just kind of let them do their own thing, so they really weren't around us. And then, like, the same 4 people pretty much have been around each other. But
right.
Other than that, we've been pretty good about it. So,
well,
Sean, he's a big social distancer.
I can't wait to see the final shed.
Yeah, I think it's going to be fun.
Maybe on the reveal, you can go live on the YouTube or the Facebook. So people like me who can't make it over for the big unveil, we can still enjoy it.
I will. I'll rent the UFC fight and I'll put a camera there and go live so the UFC fight's in the background.
Oh my God, you would be my hero. And you'll be arrested within minutes.
Yeah. And I'll lose my YouTube account. Yeah.
I'll be honest, that's how I watched the last McGregor-Diaz fight, was someone on my Facebook feed just went live and just turned it towards the TV.
I watched it on YouTube.
I watched the entire fight via Facebook.
Yeah.
I don't know why we do that. We rent it. That's stupid.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll
go in with you. I just refuse to pay $100 myself to watch the fight alone. Usually in my house.
Us and then another couple. So
that's not bad. In. Yeah. If you can split it.
And
then we
have food and get drunk and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, and then, I want to hear more about the whatnot next episode.
We should all
cake rolls and cupcakes.
All right, guys, we'll see you next week. Keep rating and reviewing. You guys are awesome at that. We love you, and we are out.